Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. It's now time for the de facto, the revolutionary, the evolutionary Game Pass or Pass Game of the Year 2022 episode. I am Corey. I'm joined by the Game of the Year nominee, Basher.
I'm voting for myself. I didn't know I was up for this. I'm definitely winning this.
I don't think you can. You can't vote for yourself. I'll let you run.
I definitely will, and I can.
I'll let you run, but you aren't.
I'm going to cook the books here.
That doesn't seem right. We are here to talk about every game that we told you to play in 2022. And we're going to pick a top game as well as two runner-ups. No, that doesn't sound right either.
It is two runner-ups.
That doesn't sound. If you know if it's runners-ups, ups, runners, let us know. Before we get started, you can write us and let us know what your favorite Game Pass game of the year. I've had too many Game Pass game of the years in my head. Let us know what you think your favorite game of 2022 was on Game Pass. 574-651-9256. This is it. This is the culmination of everything we've been doing our entire lives. Is this episode?
Well, at least this year.
No. Our entire lives.
Because that's a long list of games.
We have news. Lie to you. This is the last episode we're ever going to do today. So yeah.
Gotta hope so. Oh wait, never mind.
There you go. All right. So this is the way it's going to go down. I'm going to list every game that we told you to play. We passed it on, and then we're going to start the process. We're going to eliminate them until we can get to a top three. And then once we have a top three, we're going to pick our winner as well as two runner ups, or however you're supposed to say that.
Runner ups. Also, looking at this list right now, like my initial thought was, oh yeah, this is gonna be pretty easy. I think this is me every year. Like I feel like, no, it's gonna be pretty easy. Now I look at the list, I'm like, no, those are some bangers on there.
Yeah. As someone who listened to our Game of the Year episodes not too long ago, like usually it's the top three we have trouble narrowing it down. But then we usually have a good idea what number one is. And I always start every episode saying like, this is going to be tough this year. And you're just like, it'll be fine. Like, so let's see what happens. All right. These are the games we told you to play in 2022. Archveil, Aliens Fireteam Elite, The Gunk, Death's Door, Telling Lies, Dreamscaper, Tunic, Life is Strange, Life is Strange, True Colors, Tainted Grail, Paradise Killer, Euden Chronicles Rising, House Flipper, Chorus, TMNT Shredder's Revenge, Power Wash Simulator, Road 97, As Dusk Falls, Escape Academy, Immortality, Tinykin, A Plague Tale Requiem, Proteus, and Vampire Survivors. And I thought it's a fun thing to do this year. I'm just going to list the games that we told you not to play, just to keep some.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's go down
the
old trash pile.
Yeah, the old trash pile. Somerville, Scorn, Metal Hink.
Somerville.
Metal Helsinger. Yes. Chinatown Detective Agency. Did you pass on that?
I think we both did at the end of the day.
Grid Legends, Immortals Fenyx Rising. Let's see here. unsold.
All of Microsoft's.
Yeah. Everything from Microsoft ever. A Memoir Blue, Edge of Eternity, Shredders, and that's it. So we had a lot of passes this year, or, you know, pass it ons this year. So I think this is, so
this might be our best, rather our most positive year.
Right. So granted, we did have about four episodes less than we normally do. So there's that aspect of it. But no, there was a time like we had a lot of passes. The second half of the year, we had a lot more don't play it than we did do play it.
Even if we make up for those four episodes that we missed, sadly, the ones I have played just on my own, I would call this positive pick still. I think it's still just overall, I don't know if it's just because of the way the releases happened or the way we picked the games we wanted to play, but I think it's an overall positive year.
Yeah, and so in this year, like we tried to do a lot of like spinning the wheel, but it just doesn't always work out, kind of thing. Because we don't want to just play, you know, random stuff. Like there is stuff that we genuinely want to play. So that kind of makes it hard too. And this year was a little more difficult, just time wise, and like I think like everybody else, there was times where you and I were both sick for like months.
Yeah,
and it makes it hard to do anything then, but. Yeah, so it was a weird year in some ways, but yeah, no, a lot of positive games this year. But all right, let's start narrowing this down. So normally we start by eliminating stuff or moving stuff up, but I don't think we're gonna be able to move stuff up for a little while in this one. I'm gonna start and say the Gunk can go.
All right, I agree with that.
Yeah, I like the Gunk a lot. That was one that we were kind of torn on in the middle. I don't think you ended up passing on it. And I think I ended up passing on it, but it was one that we weren't super high on. But I enjoyed it, but I don't think there's just better stuff on this list. So
yeah, if I remember right, the Gunk just didn't have that that next tier of gameplay from it.
Yeah.
It kind of what it was in the first hour is what it was in the last hour for me.
It's still a cool game, and it's really short, so you can play it, have a good time. But yeah.
I'll go next with, I know what it was. What was the name of that? Paradise Killer. Yeah. That can go.
Yeah, it was not, I didn't like that game. So you won't.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was definitely one of my babies.
Yeah, I definitely don't, won't fight you on that one. All right. I'm going to say TMNT Shredder's Revenge can go.
Oof.
I like that game a lot. It's a very good beat 'em up. But I think there's just better stuff on this list. Like, it's the best beat 'em up of the year. However, that genre doesn't have a lot of love to it. But it's, I didn't go back and play. You know, I played it the one time and finished it, and I enjoyed my time with it. But I'm not thinking about it. So,
yeah, I think the problem with that game is that it didn't. It how do I explain it? Is that it had an ending? And then it was so short.
Right, right.
Because once you beat that game, there's nothing to really do.
Right.
But a beat 'em up should be replayable. And something about that game is just lacked of replayability for me.
So, yeah,
like, something that Street Fighter, Streets of Rage did not have.
Yeah. Like,
or did have, rather.
They have, like, you can go back and, like, level up all the turtles and stuff. But it just, I feel like those games need almost like a Vampire Survivor style of just, like, let me find some cool stuff. You know, like, let me unlock some like super hidden character or something. And it had some hidden characters that you got once you beat the game to incentivize you to go back through the game. But they kind of played the same. You know, it wasn't a drastic departure. So really fun game, really fun game. But I think it just lacks a lot of that staying power. So.
Right. I agree. I'm going to follow up with House Flipper. Super fun. I don't think it lacked the power wash effect long term for me.
Yeah, I like that game a lot, but I don't think it. Yeah, I won't fight you on that one. All right. Man, this is difficult already.
These are all pretty good.
Escape Academy. I
Man. I knew that was coming, and there's a part of me that was kind of like, that sucks, but because I do like Escape Academy.
Escape Academy is cool. I think the story
right
is weak. That's a very cool experience to play one time. I think the story sucks, and I love the idea of it. Like, there's some real creativity in there, but Escape Academy 2 will be much better if that game ever is made. Like, I think
I agree.
Yeah, it's still enjoy it. I think you should play it co-op as well. It's a great co-op game, but I think there's just better games on this list.
And I don't mind it going this early simply because we have a long list here of other games of its quality, if not better.
Right.
Side note, I played my first real life escape room.
Did you escape?
In Nashville. I sure did escape with 5 minutes left.
Wow.
We did pretty good.
Did you get to hold up a sign and say, "We escaped," and they took a picture of you?
I have a game passport with a stamp on it. And
what?
Saying I escaped, and like legitimately, like, I kind of want to do some more because he filled out that passport. Like, it's just dumb enough to have.
So they got you, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Like, I'm a fan of that dumb thing.
There you go.
I'm going to follow up with.
We got a lot of games on this.
I don't want to follow up with. Yuden Chronicles Rising.
Okay. Kind of surprised by that.
It's a game I really enjoy, and it being a prequel to the Suikoden series was the jumping off point for me. However, by the end of that, the combat didn't kick into that next level for me. And furthermore, even though I like the characters, especially the story was just fine. No real issues there. It was just way too much busy work that I can really say to people, like, pick this up immediately. It's just, it was a lot of the collecting the stamps and stuff that would turn a lot of people away.
Yeah, I'll have to mainly default to you on that one. That one, it just didn't click with me. I liked it from what I played, but it's just, it was nothing that I wanted to sink a lot of time into. If I had more time, sure, but there was just other stuff I wanted to play more, kind of thing.
And to do all the stuff in there, you have to sink a good amount of time, and it's not the fun way to sink time into.
Yeah, I agree. It felt very grindy. So, all right. I'm gonna go with Life is Strange True Colors. Like that game a lot. I still don't think that team has managed to reach the highs of that original Life is Strange, but still much better than that second one. Life is Strange 2 is terrible. So True Colors was it was cool. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think it's missing sort of the mystique that first game had. And I'm curious to see where they take it now. It's clearly its own franchise, and there's one of the franchises that Square Enix did not sell off. So they seem to have good, whatever you want to call it, you know, good feelings about it. So, but no, it's just not nearly as strong as a lot of these other games. So.
All right. Let's see here. I'm going with a game I really thought was super sweet. I'm going with Roll 97. Super sweet game, just in an era of gaming where people are trying to make these type of games where it's not a huge amount of gameplay. And they're really just trying to tell a story or just a character thing. I would say Road 97 is just a really novel idea that is executed pretty well. And the loop of getting to the end multiple times with different characters to tell a larger story worked for me. That said, it lacks, again, just because of the nature of that game specifically, it lacks a lot of the more exciting gameplay that other games on this list have.
Yeah, and I did end up playing that a little bit, and I like the ideas. I don't like playing it. The carrot on the stick on that one is I wanted to see what was going to happen, but I kind of hated the process when I had to play it.
Right.
Which is weird. It was extremely weird for me. But no, that's a cool... I won't say it's a surprise, but it's not what you think. You know, it definitely is a better... And see, that's not what I want to say. It's not a better game. It's just, it's not what you think it is. And it does things in a way. It's smart. That's what I'm looking for. The writing is very smart. So,
yeah, I agree. And especially when in a game where that could be seen and probably is seen more quote unquote woke, and how people like to label everything woke and hate woke. It falls to that side of the fence. But again, it's smartly written and smartly told in a way where it doesn't push any sort of narrative in that sense. It's just a nice story.
Right, exactly. All right. I think we need to talk about Telling Lies and Immortality. Same developer, same similar ideas. You were stronger on Telling Lies than I was. I don't think it's better than Immortality, though.
I agree with that.
Okay. So Telling Lies is good, but I think Immortality is stronger, and I don't even know if Immortality makes this list, but for that reason, I think we can cut it.
I agree. And goes to say something that a single studio is listed on here twice.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go with... I'm picking it As Dusk Falls. That one did not resonate with me as hard as it did with you. However, I do respect it from the storytelling aspect of it. But much like a Road 97, 96... It just lacks the overall hook and compelling gameplay enough to compete with the ending top three here, whatever that may be.
That's tough. As This Falls is, you know, we have had our debates on these games quite a bit, but I genuinely feel like As Dusk Falls is one of the better choose your own adventure style games, because it doesn't try to beat you over the head with gameplay. You know, like it doesn't do the thing where, right, where it tries to add gameplay for the sake of gameplay, which, you know, like we've had the arguments of like, you're just pressing right, you know, something like that. It doesn't even do that. It's just like, no, this is a choose your own adventure game. See what happens. And
do you think it's stronger than the current list we have now?
It's strong, because
there's one other one I would get rid of eventually. If not now, it'll be after this, because my other thing I was looking at was Dreamscaper, which I enjoyed immensely, actually. Dreamscaper was one of my sleepers, personally. I really liked the gameplay in that one. And the reason I picked As Dusk Falls before Dreamscaper is because Dreamscaper, I could kind of just boot up right now. It's a good runner.
It's tough. So As Dusk Falls is super strong to me. However, it isn't perfect. I think the ending is kind of... I think that the second half of that game, so it's strange because the second half of that game is weaker, but at the same time, that's because they've done an extremely strong job of making your choices matter. And that's such a dumb PR thing to say, but like the possibilities in that game of where that story can go is crazy. Like it's got almost the David Cage style, like tree that you can go, and it's like,
oh,
it's
Nuts Cage. Yeah. I'm down some nuts.
Yeah, it's Nuts Cage. it's truly like that, and it's crazy. And then so it sort of, it crafts like your final chapter, and it's cool. Like it's really cool. However, I just didn't love the end of it, but it's also got that mode where like anybody can play, like you can just play with your phone. And it's right. Like, as a game, it's extremely inclusive, and it lets you, you know, everyone can have a good time with it. But like, it's also got that mechanic, which neither one of us I wasn't able to experience it, but it's got that override where like, so if you and I were playing together, we each get like 3 overrides per chapter. So like, you can create some animosity between people, and you can see where your story goes. And it's like, that's such a simple but smart thing of like a way to really kind of just like, no, like I don't, that's stupid. We should do this instead. You know, it's interesting.
A better mechanic than what are those horror ones that we played?
Yeah, Man of Medan, Dark Picture Anthology. Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
Much better than those.
Yeah. So that's tough. Like, as I'm looking at this list, it's, I don't think I'm ready to cut it. Like, my gut is telling me it's not going to make it, but I think I need to talk a little bit about some of these other games first.
All right. So what goes before it then?
I think Aliens can go. Aliens is surprisingly fun. However, it takes a while to get fun. And that is like the best 7 out of 10 on this list. Like it's a lot of time and love went into it, but it doesn't feel play tested enough. And I think they got there. We also played it after they had changed up some things, but once that game like hit its stride, it was really fun. But there were still times I was just kind of like, there's some frustrating moments. There was a lot of fun, but a lot of frustration as well. And I look at this list and I think I was just, I had a better time with other games. However, if there's an Alien Fireteam Elite 2, I'll be all over it kind of thing.
Yeah, that's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Get rid of that high paywall for like stuff in the beginning. Yeah. And, like, you got yourself a good hit.
So yeah, so once you start unlocking stuff, it's great, but you have to play a couple levels before you start unlocking stuff. And it's hard. But it's cool. Like that's a cool game, and it's one of the very few uses of that property I was super into. So like, man, using that smart gun, that's fun. That's fun. So. So I'm just going to run it down really quick so people are listening. So what we have left is Vampire Survivors, Proteus, A Plague Tale Requiem, Tinykin, Immortality, As Dust Falls, Power Wash Simulator, Chorus, Tainted Grail, Tunic, Dreamscaper, Death's Door, Archvale.
Oh, okay. I missed one there, an easy one. Not easy in the sense that it's bad, but easy that it's not going, I know it's not going to make it there. Tainted Grail can go.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, man.
There is.
Yeah, that game's real good, but it's.
There's a
it's
real.
Not done. Like,
yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's just a bit undercooked. Yeah. Like, it's so. The idea and the premise there is so good. I love the atmosphere and the artwork involved in it. The gameplay is pretty, like, it's pretty kind of smart. Like, I like the take they had on the battle system, however, just
there's so much content in that game. It's crazy. Like it's hard to get to though.
I think it needs like another developer help. Like, you know, like another developer and another year just to get some more stuff down, get some more polish. And I think you got yourself one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, and it's my biggest thing is it takes a while to start going as well, but I think that can happen with a lot of run-based games. It's hard to find, though. It's hard to find the fun sometimes in that game. And once you sort of learn its rules and everything, it's still a lot of fun, but it's still, it can be obtuse. And I think it lacks that.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it lacks that Hades polish of, I want every run to feel like I have a chance.
Absolutely,
and it definitely lacks that. So, I mean, like you said, if more polish, maybe just another set of eyes can say, like, "Hey, what if you like dialed this back or you dialed this up?" You know, like a lot of that. And I wonder if that game's been updated. You know, I'd be curious to actually find out what they've changed about that game, because that's one I still have installed, because I was like, you know what, like, I think this is going to get there kind of thing. But no, that was one I ended up dumping a ton of time into, not expecting.
Oh, you went back into yeah. Is that the one, I started playing and then told you I was playing it?
Yeah,
or did
yeah.
You already...
No, yeah, you know, you, okay. That was one you're like, no, this is actually pretty good. I was like, all right, we'll check it out. And it just...
It clicks after a while.
Yeah, it got me pretty good. I have 13 hours in that game. So quite a bit. So, all right. Sorry, I closed the list because I was looking at that. All right. This one's going to hurt a lot for me.
Are you going to do it? I think you're going to do it.
Chorus.
Yeah, you did it. You did it.
Chorus, man.
No. I'm going to stop you there, sir. I'd rather keep Chorus on here another round before we have Death Store go first. I think Chorus is way more delightful.
Both of those games have some serious flaws, though.
They do, but I think Chorus, I mean, the slipstream, what do you call that move?
Oh, yeah, that game's so good. Like, just flying around in that game is so much fun. Oh, my God.
That's a good piece of business. I'm fighting for Chorus for another round or two. And that was your pick.
God, this is tough. Death's Door is really good, though, too. Like, man. Why would you cut Death's Door? I'm just curious.
I think Death's Door is really good. However, it doesn't... Death's Door is really good, but it being a mini Souls-like, it doesn't have that heartbreaking yet heartwarming feeling that Souls game gives you at its peak. I think it's all the way through pretty level-headedly good, but it doesn't get to that point where you have that thank God that sense of relief that when you beat Ramadan or something, it's like, I just put this down for a minute, or that Millennia fight where you're just kind of like, I've been out here for a week trying to do this, where this door is really simply good all the way through. It doesn't try to offend you like a Souls game kind of should sometimes.
That's tough, because Death's Door is super interesting, because it is the most Souls-like game that, like, it's hidden. Like, that stuff is hidden in that game. It is extremely hard to find. But that's almost... I almost prefer... Like, you can get through Death's Door without finding a lot of that stuff, and that's just a really solid, isometric beat-em-up game. Like, but if you choose to, you can find an additional treasure trove of content. But the question is that good or bad? Because, like, you can just miss that stuff because it's not... Like, it's just not in your face about it. Like, is that good or bad, though? That's the part that I struggle with that game.
It didn't... As good as it is, it just never got great for me. It didn't have the... that moment in gameplay where I'm just like, boom, this is it. I cannot put this down.
Man, that's tough. Yeah, all right, yeah, I'm willing to cut it for, because as I'm sitting here thinking about it, like, I really like it,
I want to play Chorus right now type of thing.
Yeah, like
that's what I'm feeling about it.
I love the way that game looks. I love the bosses for the most part. But what I'll say is I don't like the end of it. Like, by the time I was kind of near the end, like, I was kind of ready for it to be over.
It's 8 hours.
Yeah, like, and I don't really know why. That's kind of my problem with that game, is like, if someone asked me, like, should they play Death's Door? I'd be like, yeah, for sure. But it doesn't I can't point to one thing about it and be like, this is why you should play it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But
right.
when it comes to this list, it's just like, yeah.
I think that's my point that I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, you know, like when you play, and again, I'm not trying to compare it to Elden Ring, like the $1 million title, in its production quality, but it didn't have that thing of you put it down and when you're telling someone like you have to play this game because, or you don't have that moment where you're talking with a friend like, are you stuck on this part too? Are you looking for this thing too? It's just kind of like it. It's a really good, strong experience throughout the end, and you never really hit that wall that you kind of want to hit.
Right. Yeah, and the upgrade system is rough.
I forgot about the upgrade system actually.
Yeah, it's rough. So yeah, I'm willing to cut it simply because I'm just looking at this list and it's just the man. Okay, here's my thing is, all right, I'll cut it. I'm gonna make a bold move here. I think Vampire Survivors has to be on this list.
Oh yeah, I have my own personal top three already. So like, I'm pretty sure like I'm not going to hear those titles come up just yet. So if you're going Death's Door, I'm going to follow that up with Dreamscaper.
To remove it? Or to
remove it.
Okay. But do you agree that Vampire Survivors has to be on the list?
Yes.
Top three. Okay. So I'll bold that Dreamscaper.
Dreamscaper, I would say, is a must play for people. But it's looking at this list, it's just getting tight. I'm trying to think overall experience. It's a fantastic runner.
I'm with you, but I would cut Tunic before I cut Dreamscaper.
Surprising, actually.
Tunic has some magic in that game. Do not get me wrong.
Listen, I didn't want to mention Tunic yet because I expected a bigger fight.
No,
especially over Dreamscaper.
Tunic is brilliant at times, but the brilliancy of that game is not playing it. I really enjoy part, like the whole manual system is amazing. Like finding those manuals and like the thing about that game is like, oh, it was in front of you the whole time. You know, like it's got those moments of just like, oh my God, like that's crazy. Like I could have done this the whole time and it's really cool. That game hit a wall for me really hard of like, basically like when you get there, you kind of get to what you feels like the end of the game. And then it kind of does like the Zelda Dark World thing on you. And I'm just like, I don't know if I needed all this. Like, and then it gets like weirdly difficult at the end too. Like it's already not an easy game, but I don't think the combat system in that game is deep enough to warrant it being a 12 to 15 hour game. Like the discovery of that game, I think, is the magic. I don't super love playing it. However, like in terms of just like that feeling, honestly, the problem is Vampire Survivors exists. And because that game, that game is so much better at doing the like, what is this? Like, what is like, okay, this is cool. Like, what's this now? Like, okay, I did this. Now I get like Tunic has that with the manual and it's amazing. But I just don't think it stands up to the other games on this list.
Tunic was your pick mostly. I was not big on Tunic, and I try to give it another shot. I'm not a fan of, to compare to Death's Door, combat wise.
Death's Door is better
in terms of Death's Door has some actual meat to it. I just feel like it had too much combat in it in a game that didn't need as much combat.
Right.
In a way, like in the combat was like an afterthought in terms of what actual depth of it, of actual gameplay of it. Yet it's there so often. And I'm like, this is not clicking for me.
I think you can make the argument that the reason to keep playing is that manual is to keep uncovering secrets about this world. But I think it's front loaded. Like, I think the first 6 hours of that game is way better than the second six, because like once you kind of have everything and you're trying to get to the end, it kind of just keeps going. And I'm like, all right, like I'm kind of just ready for this to end. And like there's like the golden path thing, which is really kind of the end game, which is awesome. Like, it's awesome that it's there, that this, like, if you don't know what the golden path is, Google it. You know, if you haven't played the game, or you know, Google it. Just, you know, find out, look at what you have to do and how people figure this out. It's really, really cool. But I think, you know, I really do feel like that last like 4 hours of the game, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I was kind of, I thought I was at the end, and then it just keeps going, and it didn't sour the experience for me, but it definitely took it from like a, you know, I am super into this game, to just like, okay, like this is pretty cool, but I'm kind of over it. Like it knocked it down that hard for me. So I guess it's you now, since I kind of hijacked yours.
My turn. So we're looking at Vampire Survivors, Proteus, Plague Tale Requiem, Tinykin, Immortality. Did we get rid of As Dusk Falls?
No, it's still on there.
Okay. As Dusk Falls, Power Wash Simulator, Chorus, Dreamscaper, Arkvale.
Correct. Proteus can go. It's just, I like the game a lot, but it doesn't stand up to the rest of these.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I feel like I need to say more, because, like, full disclosure, we just recorded that episode, so we just talked a lot about it. What I'll say is, like, that game is extremely good. It's one of the better Doom clones that I've ever played, but it's not quite there. Like, it feels good to play. The maps are fun, but it's way too long, and some of those maps aren't as good as the rest. Like, it needs some curation, and it needs a little bit more TLC, I feel like. If they ever release that second episode, I'm going to be all over it to check it out, because I really like the way that game plays. But it's not niche, but it's hitting a very particular set of things that it's trying to do. And it doesn't bring anything new to the table in a lot of ways. So.
All right. That doesn't make this any easier for me, by the way. So I keep looking at Tinykin, and I'm like, no, I can't say Tinykin. Tinykin's really good. I like some Tinykin. I remember Arkvale hitting a nice nerve, but does it make it?
I'm looking at Immortality, and as I'm looking at the rest of these,
Immortality has that what the F factor to like such a good one, like one of like the best one of the year. I feel like, just like, what's going? It's genuinely the scariest game I've played in years.
It's, man.
Are we foolish for keeping Power Wash Simulator here?
No, not at all. Not at all. Power Simulator is an incredible video game. Do not know.
That's what I thought. Okay. No. Just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
No.
Okay,
so here...
Key Shaper is really good. You know what? All right, here's my pick. It would have to be.
I'm
at this point, Chorus.
I'm gonna make a bold another one. I think we need new Power Wash Simulators on this list.
I mean, we'll definitely get to the top three, but what are we taking away now?
That's what I'm saying, though. But like, I think Vampire Survivors and Power Simulator have to be on this list. I look at the rest of these, and I think the fight is going to be to find that third game.
Maybe.
So like, but like.
I don't think As Dusk Falls is top three.
That's tough.
Especially looking at Arkvale down there, like, yeah, I don't think it makes it to.
It had
a fantastic run. I think at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, like, oh man, game's real good, but no, yeah, you're right. I don't feel as strong enough. I feel stronger about other games. So,
All right, your pick.
I don't, yeah, like, I know we you've said it a couple times, but Chorus, like, I think that's going to hurt the most out of these, but I think that's simply because it's somehow the most disappointing game, because there's so much good in that game that it, and it's surrounded by just modern,
yeah,
focus tested
yeah,
game, yep, design that does not need to be there.
Perfect way to put it. Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because I absolutely loved the main story of that game. See, and that's the thing. I liked playing the main story. I didn't care about the story, and I didn't care about the open world crap in that game.
Also didn't like the overuse of the narration.
Yeah, she never shuts up. And it also, remember that game, we had like our debate about it, whatever you want to call it, but it was just, you're like, I don't like this. And I was like, just keep playing it. Like, just trust,
right,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you've got to get to the, like, you'll know when you get there, you will get there. And when you get there, you're just like, okay, like, I'm in. Like, this is, you have taken this, we're being like coy as if we can't talk about it. Like, flying around in that game for the first couple hours, like, this is cool. Like, it looks nice, and you're zipping around. It runs great. You know, that nice, smooth 60 frames, and you're zipping around, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of over it. And then you get like the turn, the 180 turn. And it's just like, okay, like, all right, I'm into this. And then you get like the speed boost, and you're just like, okay, like, all right, this is feeling like, just by the end of that game, you feel awesome. Like, it's just, the dogfighting is basic, and you've got all the weapons in the world to just destroy them, but you don't care. Like, you're just like, this is,
in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, you are the ace pilot, and you feel like the ace pilot. Like, it does that power fantasy in a plane phenomenally well. It's just surrounded by a kind of mundane narrative and forgettable characters.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of ups and downs with that game, of like one of that, like that final mission where like you've got all the different enemy types, and like you've got to destroy like the generators in that ship, and like you got to really be on your game. Like, you've got to control this ship where you are zipping around that map, and I cannot describe how much fun when you nail everything in that, and you just, you know, you thread that needle perfectly in that ship, and then you hit that turn, and it's just like, you feel incredible. But the game doesn't give you enough moments of that. Like, they're so hit and miss that, like, it genuinely hurts to say that it should go, but those reasons, unfortunately, bring it down for me. And that's saying a lot, because I honestly think out of all these games that we still have, playing it is the most fun I've had, but they're so inconsistent that I would feel dishonest putting it as a top three.
I completely agree with all of that. And again, for it to make it this far, like, I'm actually surprised. It's one of those games you forget about, yeah, but then it's like, then you remember it in like a very positive light.
Like, yeah, if that game just had like a horde mode, I could just, oh man. it hurts.
I'm going.
It hurts.
I'm going. Looking at it. Between A Plague Tale, Requiem, and Tinykin for me right now.
It's between Immortality and Dreamscaper. And I don't know.
Dreamscaper can go, but again, I want to reiterate, that's something that should be played. It's a very sweet game. It does the telling of a personal story very well, in a way where some game, like, I won't say lesser games, that'd be the wrong way to put it, but less gameplay focused games will take a game like Dreamscaper and turn it into a more in my opinion, boring visual novel. I think Dreamscaper does a much, much, much more impressive job of marrying this narrative of just a person going to their own dreams and uncovering their own issues and their own problems in their own life, and marrying that with a genuinely good, really good, fun, addictive system of battle and runner and all that good stuff. I would say time for it to go, maybe, but again, it's stayed around here for this long for a reason.
Man, that game, like, it's got the same problem that I think, again, the problem is Hades exists, right? And Hades hit that strive of just like every run is possible, and Dreamscaper, like, it's not quite there, but it's close. And
yeah,
but the game's also really hard. Like, that game is genuinely difficult, and I don't know if that's by design or if that's by lack of mechanic, you know, like, because it's got the whole system where, like, you give your friends gifts and all that to get power ups, and like, it's got everything that you want from Hades in it. And like you said, it's told in a way that's like really cool. Like, you know, like if you looked at it, you'd be like, this is like a dumb, like, you know, it's a woke game. Like, it's very easy to look at it and be like, oh, I got to give my friends gift. But like, it doesn't feel that way. And it was able to gamify emotions in a way that I didn't expect. But when it comes time to actually playing it, I'm torn on, like, do I just suck at the game, or is it really difficult, or is it both? Like, you know, but it even does the thing where, like, that Hades does. It's like, as you keep playing it, you're not just getting new friends and getting new power ups. Like, it keeps introducing mechanics. Like, just when you think it's done, it throws another mechanic at you, and you're like, okay, like, all right, cool, I'm into this. Like, I don't know if I can cut it. Like, I think I would cut a Plague Tale before I cut Dreamscaper. Plague Tale's good, but
Plague Tale just wanted me. I don't know what about. I can't describe exactly what it is about the second one, but Plague Tale Requiem really won me over by the end of it. It's a story that really truly goes there, like
Stealth sucks.
Yeah.
Stealth of that game sucks hard. Like, I genuinely hated playing those moments. And
the forced stealth moments suck. Yeah. And then the combat when he forced into like that melee arena, like it really doesn't. The cracks in the armor start to show. Yeah, there,
the story, the story doesn't match the gameplay for me. Like, I really enjoy that game, but I was playing it to get to the next story beat, and I wasn't enjoying my time.
No, fair enough. You're right. Yeah. There were enough times in that game where I'm just like, I'm not having a good time. Especially that one boss near the end, the guy that chases you in the castle.
Yep.
And you have to lift the crank for the thing, for the gate to open. Like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's enough headache-inducing moments in Plague Tale Requiem that can go.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
But if you want a story that ends up going there eventually, I think it's worth. I generally think it's worth a playthrough.
Yeah, the story is the bright spot.
I don't think you need to play the first one. I didn't, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, we played the first one, but we didn't like it though.
Right? Yeah, I don't. That's tough. Yeah, I don't think you need to either. I think you can get the gist of it. It's a different game though than the first one. Like, the story is
it's darker.
Yeah, it's darker. It's
weirder.
Yeah.
Vampire Survivors, Tinykin, Immortality, Parawa Simulator, Dreamscaper, Arkvale.
I'm still looking at Immortality. That's
a hell of an experience, man.
It is, but it's...
Oh, okay. So before we look more into Immortality, let's talk about the game that we have not talked about at all yet for some reason. Arkvale.
Arkvale, yeah.
We're just avoiding the conversation for some reason. Like, if I remember Arkville clicking for me a lot at some point. But I also remember getting to that final boss and kind of being like, meh. By the end of it.
Yeah, so Arkville, man. There's so much going on in Arkville. It's Zelda. It's a twin stick shooter. It's what's the name of that game where you sell stuff all the time? You have your own shop. What's the name of that game?
Harvest Moon.
No, Moon. No. Oh my God. What's the name of that game? It's going to drive me nuts.
Animal Crossing.
No, I think it's on Game Pass. Dude. That's the worst part. It's a lot of different games in one, and all the different weapons and stuff you get, like, and you every time you go to a new town, like you get a new something, you know, like it's a game that from start to finish, like you are constantly on that treadmill, and by the end of it, you that journey that you went on, you feel like you went on a journey, like you are completely different, and it's not easy. That game will kick your butt, and I loved it. I absolutely love that game, and it's tough because I don't think it's perfect. Like, and I know, yeah, you got to the last boss and you were able to walk over him. I was not, because I was missing some of the things, like, and it's got almost the opposite problem of Vampire Survivors. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you just don't know. And there's a lot of stuff that you can figure out. However, if you don't figure out some of that stuff, it can 100% affect how that game goes for you.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, I had the upgraded wand or the super wand, whatever that was, and that was kind of... There are two super weapons by the end of that game. It's the wand and a sword. Excalibur, I want to say, and then some super wand, and that definitely helps you walk through the boss.
Yeah, which I had all the stuff. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
But man, oh, the music.
Yeah, about the music.
So good.
And your style, for pixel art style, super poppy.
Yeah.
Super good poppy. Like, you never lose yourself in that game.
No,
like,
even in all the chaos. Or
especially in Vampire Survivors, you kind of, if it wasn't for the camera, you have no idea where you are, what you're doing, but, like, you never lose yourself in Arkville.
And it's, like, it's the Zelda style of like eight different, you know, areas, but each one does its own thing. You know, like you're not changing up your strategy a lot, but there's a lot of different enemy types. There's a lot, like you can make different builds, and you know, like there's just, it's a deep game, and it's extremely strong. The bosses were pretty good. Like,
yeah,
I remember that last boss is
the most annoying, right? But like that's,
Yeah,
for the course, I feel like at this point.
Yeah, I don't. That is the only criticism I can really lob at it is the end boss is not good, which is, that's a big deal. But it's the journey up to that point, like the end is bad. Like that's, there's no way around it. The end of that game is bad. But that 95% up to it was really good. Was really, really good. I mean, it's difficult. Like it's genuinely difficult in a good way. Like it challenges you in a way that I just didn't anticipate. And it's that game is real good.
See, I think, okay, so here's where I'm at. I think Tiny King goes before Immortality. I'm fighting for Immortality in the sense that I think you said something like this earlier in the show. Anyone can play this and get, like, literally anybody can play this game and get that moment of what's going on. I am kind of frightened. Like, should I be frightened? What, like, it is by far the most what the heck experience in gaming that I've gotten in quite a while. Like, every single person who I've heard play this game all talk about just how, holy crap, like, is that real? Like, what's going on? Like, should we be watching? It seems it feels like you're doing something like wrong. Like, I shouldn't be playing this. Like, you feel so uneasy.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a hard thing to do. And especially like when you, in a state of gaming where you have all these wannabe horror games, like Callisto Effect just came out, I think it's called.
Protocol.
Like, Callisto Protocol. Like, none of these games are scary anymore. Even Dead Space wasn't scary.
Right.
It's super fun, one of the best games ever, but it's not scary. Like, this game makes you feel so uneasy. Yeah, feel like it's an experience that everybody needs to have.
But my issue with it, and it's kind of the opposite problem of telling lies from the same developer, was smart in that it's a lot easier to get to a conclusion. Whereas Her Story and Immortality, I still don't quite know what happened. Like, I think I do. Like, I definitely had to go online after and sort of read what other people were saying. And it's like, okay, like, I sort of came to that conclusion. Remember when we talked about it, you were way off. Like, you weren't even close to what was actually happening, which is
until I got to the certain point, like when we were first talking about it, I thought it was like something completely different. I didn't think it was so mystical.
Right. Yeah. Cause and it's weird. Cause like, you really don't know what's happening. And there's also the fact of like, if you don't, like, we didn't know about the D-pad thing. And because there's two different ways, because you rewind it, or you have to do like the frame by frame rewind. And because I kept seeing that stupid silhouette of her in the background and rewinding, and I didn't know what that meant. I was like, well, I rewound, like, what am I supposed to do? But you have to do the frame by frame rewinding. And it's just like that. It sounds nitpicky, but it's not, because it doesn't tell you that. Like, it tells you, like, you can go frame by frame here, but it doesn't, like, it doesn't take away from the game of like, of that first moment of being like, you know, when you hit that rewind, all of a sudden, like, everything just changes. Like, wait, what, like, what just happened? Like, and it's not just like things change. Like, it, like you said, the actors just chew up the scene, and they make you feel so uneasy in a way that, like, it, like you said, it, you just, you feel like is someone to come through my window and like kill me, like
seriously, like it's like that ridiculous,
right?
Like, and I feel like it's an experience that is unmatched in its in that way.
But you still you could, man, it's tough, because like I remember, like, when I found like the last clip, you know, relatively like, you know, 4 or 5 hours in, where she just like sets her on fire, and I was like, huh? Like what? Like, what is going on, kind of thing. But I just, it's not easy to get to the conclusion. And I think when you get to the conclusion, oh man, it's tough. That's tough. Okay, here's the question. Did we make a mistake by bolding Power Simulator Vampire Survivors?
I mean, you were all about the bolding, man. I don't know.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like, maybe, are those
not?
You're
all about the bold life.
Like I think we're this top six. Like, I think we're in the right spot.
You know what happened? Also, Arkvale came out of left field, right, for us, and just like, oh yeah, I forgot just how good
that
you
game
were.
Is real good.
How deep you were, like. All right,
All right, so I'm gonna unbold
Dreamscaper.
Yeah, I'm gonna unbold Dreamscaper Vampire doesn't... Survivors, and so we're back to square one. So we've got these six games. We got to narrow it down to three.
Listen, Dreamscaper, love it, doesn't make it.
All right, we've talked about all the games on this list except Tinykin and Dreamscaper. So let's
Tinykin,
Dreamscaper, and Vampire Survivors. So the problem is, again, we just talked about Vampire Survivors, so we have to kind of like reiterate. Why I'm having trouble with Tinykin is that is a, like, I can't even, it's just, it's so good. Like, it's just, it's a Pikmin platformer, and it does it in a way that is extremely clever, extremely fun, and it's a collectathon that I actually wanted to collect everything, and each level was its own like unique area, and you find new Tinykin, and it's just like whenever all those little Tinykin are following you around, like it's just there's a good feeling to that game that by the end of it, I was like, this, that was fantastic. And the way that the upgrade system goes, and like you get all the different bubbles, and then like by the end, like you have the super bubble, and you can float around, and you can go back to the other levels and get all the stuff that you missed. Like there is so much charm to that game. It's hard to not like it. But it's also genuinely a fun game. Like, and it was smart about a lot of things. Like if you fall too far off of it, because it's all about verticality and going up and down. And if you fall, it's gonna like, no, like you're gonna take a little bit of damage, but we're gonna put you right back up. So it is smart enough to also know that like this game could be really frustrating if we don't do it right. And they did it right. I can't say anything about it other than like they did it right. Like there's nothing about it that jumps out at me, but that game is real good. Like
there is a charm of that game that is just undeniable. Even though the gameplay is so there, and again, that to be able to make, in my opinion, a better Pikmin than Nintendo.
Yeah. It's a different goal, but it is Pikmin, but it's a platformer versus kind of like a survival game, which is a very light survival game. That's what Pikmin is. So
it's just so well done. So cute. So bright, so colorful. Something that we need more of in this in the industry. Like I'm a big fan of Tinykin.
Tinykin's real good. Like Tinykin is really good. Like, and it's not long either, in a good way. It's like 6 hours. You know, like
it doesn't overstay its welcome.
No, at all. And it's good. Like that game's real good.
And then you got Power Wash Simulator.
Right, which we haven't talked about either. So, like, the most zen game of the year, by far. I'm going to buy a power washer because of this game. Like, if it wasn't winter, I already would have. But, like,
I'm going to start a new career.
Right, like, it's just got that. It's just awesome. Like it's.
And just so people know, you're not just power washing. Like it's a foolish nutso game, but right. By the end, it's telling a story, a very ridiculous, stupid story that involves alien abductions. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think I know the developers know it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like a whole game about power washing, like let's just get real dumb with it. And it does in the best way possible, in the most fun way possible. It turns power washing into, like you said, this zen-like activity with, it gamifies it in a way where you're actually looking forward to making money, getting upgrades, like right. It's a shooter of some sort. Like it's
But and I think the magic is that they were smart enough to take it weird places, and not only so that way it's like, oh, this is weird and people are going to talk about it, but that way you can power wash weird things like statues and ancient Roman times and spaceships, like, and it's just like, that's dumb, but I'm all over it because I just want to see the dirt go away, like. And it starts in suburbia, like you're doing what you know, like, oh, I'm going to this skate park and this Ferris wheel. And, you know, like. OK, here's my question, though. Is it fun? Like, I enjoyed my time with it. But is it as fun as these other games?
Is only like it is, but and that's the difference between this and the other games, because the answer question, it is, but bring like eventually bring a friend and unlock the different nozzles and upgrades, get to the subways and the spaceships. It is, but you have to get there. And that's different than you can say with the other games on this list. Or rather, it happens longer than the other games to get to this on this list.
It's not a short game, which is weird. Like it's
actually too long.
Yeah, it's like a 30-hour game, like legitimately. And that's... Yeah, I've got 32 hours in it. Man, this is tough. I still stand by Vampire Survivors has to be on here. And I say that because, not just because it's a game we most recently played, but the mysticism of that game is immortality is the only thing that can even somewhat come close to it. But in the gamified way, Vampire Survivors is exactly
unbeatable.
Yeah,
like, unbeatable.
So much fun. And it's,
here's what you did. Here's what you just did. You talked me out of Power Washer. I think Power Washer is on the chopping block next to Immortality. I'm sorry. Next to Dreamscaper. Because Dreamscaper is not exactly the same. It's in the category of genre where it's next to Ark Vale, it's next to Hades, and I think Ark Vale, and we didn't play Hades, but just throw it out there. We didn't play Hades in this year rather. Sitting next to Ark Vale, Ark Vale does the polish part that we're looking for in Ark Vale better.
I think the challenge in Ark Vale, it's a far more difficult game than Dreamscaper, I feel like, but it feels a little bit more fair. Like Dreamscaper, a lot of times I got frustrated with it. And Ark Vale, but again, like Dreamscaper, and I still don't quite, I can't tell it with Dreamscaper if I just wasn't good enough or if it was lacking that thing that you want in run-based games of just like, I don't want to break it, but I want to feel like I have an opportunity. And, you know, that...
Yeah, you're right.
And that game...
I never felt God mode in that.
Yeah, which is... Again, is it because the game doesn't have it or did we just not get there? But I put a lot of time in that game and I feel like it just... It's... Everything else around it is... It does it better than, you know... Hades is probably the only... at times I think it even does it better than Hades. The stuff around it. But man, like that game's real good. Like,
surprisingly so too. Like, I did not expect to enjoy that game as much as I did.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I think Tinykin does it a bit better.
I think I would take Dreamscaper over Tinykin. I think the thing for me is I really like Tinykin. But I can't look at it and be like, this is why you should play it. Like there's nothing to, like, it's really good, but it's just a good 6-hour collectathon. One of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't look at it and be like, you know, you can't really sink time into it. I mean, I guess you could, but like really, if you want 100% that game, you're basically just going back to the levels and getting the pollen that you couldn't get, which is fine. And that's the point of a collectathon. But there's just something about it that I enjoy the heck out of it. But compared to the other games, like, I think in a couple of years, it'd be like Tinykin, like, I don't ever really need to play that again. Like, that's cool. Like, if you haven't played it, play it again. But I think I could pick up Dreamscaper, Ark Vale, Power Wash, or Vampire Survivors, play it again and experience that magic again. I don't know if I could do that with Tinykin.
Okay. You know what? I'll succeed that point.
So it's great. It's a fantastic game, but
because again, like I guess my two things is Immortality. I want to fight for another round, and then Dreamscaper is a very sweet personal experience. And I'm genuinely glad we made it. It made it this far because I think it's made by a super small team, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so and it's super small team, and it's just they really kind of shot for the moon there, and they did pretty well all the way around.
Yeah, and so I just Immortality is the one that's still sticking out to me. Like
it's just a unique experience for me. I feel like everyone it's one of those everyone picks it up type of things. So wait, so are we getting rid of Arkvale?
No.
You gotta get rid of something.
I can't. I'm not with you on Immortality. Like I'm with you in that I think it's really strong and like those moments, it's powerfully acted, but you can miss that stuff. Like,
and that's okay. I mean, I
don't
feel
know
like
if it is. Like, I look at, and it's not. It's really hard to compare, obviously. And I find it funny that a game that isn't technically a game is something you're fighting for. But I digress. I'm not going to go there either because I don't think that's a strong argument. But mechanically, I just feel like there's something missing to get you to the logical conclusion.
And I think that's something we all disagree with. I'm way more open to that interpretive ending or non-ending than you are.
But that's not what it is though. Like there is a definitive story to this game and a story that's told. But you can completely miss it because it doesn't guide you there. Like if you discover some of the things, like if we never would have discovered, and the only reason I discovered it was because I Googled it, which, you know, maybe that's the point. If I didn't know about the single frame rewinding and how that brought up different scenes, neither one of us would have ever got to the logical conclusion. And logical is, you know, here or there, but like,
I'm also going to say it doesn't matter simply because even when I got everything wrong, still loved it. And I think it's a testament to the game itself. Even when I'm wrong, even when I'm 100% wrong, got everything wrong, I'm like, I still love everything about this. Well, not every single thing, but I still love this game.
Yeah, and
I still think it's extremely special.
But the part of that too that I'm fighting myself is like, once we did get to the logical, not logical, but the actual conclusion, and its message is like, it's weird, man. Like, it's weird. It's, you know, it's almost like movies are this window into immortality in a weird way. Like,
yeah.
And like, and it had these like gods that were trying to use it as a, you know, it's use it as a way to become immortal. And it's just like, it's really bold and out there, but it's just the fact that you can completely miss that for me. Is tough. Like, it's just tough to, because that
even if you don't get it, you still love it though. You still talk about it. It still takes over your day.
Yeah, but it's just I look at like something like Telling Lies, and Telling Lies, just you can get there and you can still have that experience without the, not even the wonder. But then again, that game also has like multiple endings and stuff, so maybe that's not fair. But
also as much as I like Telling Lies, it also just wasn't nearly as,
not as much fun. Like the story's not as much fun. It's just kind of a story. So then there's like her story, which her story, you can, to be fair, can have the same thing. Like you can never reach the conclusion of that game. So I think it's the mechanics. Immortality is better than her story at pushing you towards it. Then again, maybe I'm just an idiot and we just, you know, we just didn't figure out the single frame thing. because like it, we kept seeing that frame where, you know, she's in the background or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, I did the rewind. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, maybe that should have been enough of a thing. But at the same time, also, if you don't play that game with a controller, you could miss stuff as well. But I don't know if that's whether, you know, neither here nor there.
We're stuck at six, man. You gotta make a decision
five,
here.
We're at five.
Wait, who do we?
Vampire Survivors, Power Wash, Immortality, Dreamscaper, Arc Veil.
Oh, okay. Tinykin's out.
Yeah. For me, man. I think I would take Dreamscaper over Power Wash Simulator. I would definitely take Arc Veil over it. I think we could argue that Power Wash Simulator and Dreamscaper are on the same level of, in a weird way, I spent more time with Power Wash Simulator than Dreamscaper, but like Power Wash Simulator again, like it's not that it peaks early. It's just like, is it? Yes, it's really fun. It's really zen. But like, is that a top game for that reason? Of it's just it. It finds that,
it was
that perfect
for a while.
Zen. Yeah, like it's the perfect zen game. But the question is the zen better than the Dreamscaper, Arc Veil, and Immortality? You know, like that's, is it worth as much?
I don't think it is. I think it will always be a personal favorite of ours. But in terms of the gamifying of what the game's supposed to do, I don't think it can really match. Which would make it the greatest upset of the year, because going into this, Peril Wash was the game at some point.
Yeah, and it's what I didn't anticipate going into this is like Vampire Survivors, Immortality, and Dreamscaper all have this just like mystique to them. And Power Wash and Arc Veil are really lacking that, which seems kind of like disingenuous to be like, well, these games just have, you know, cool things about them. But at the same time, it's just like, isn't that kind of the point? But
no,
but Power Wash has that weird story though too. Like
it does. You got some aliens in that thing.
I think I would be okay with Vampire Survivors, Immortality, Arc Veil. Arc Veil is just too damn good. Like I can't.
Power Wash Simulator at the end of the day is not video gamey enough.
Right.
It is super fun.
I think part of the magic of that game is just like, no, this is actually kind of fun. Like this is dumb and it should, right. Yeah, like, and that's cool. Like I spent a ton of time with it, but I kind of I'm over it. You know, like I had my fun with it and that's fine. But.
And Dreamscaper is absolutely phenomenal from this team. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Right. Well, and that's one, like, I really hope they update it, because I'd be curious if they have too, because I still struggle, but my gut is telling me it's like, it's not that the game is too hard or anything, but I think it is lacking a little bit of that. This run has a chance.
Right.
I think you can get there. Like, I think eventually, like once you start powering everything up, I think you could probably get there, but you're going to hit a lot of frustration. And that's the single thing that drives me nuts about that genre. And it's just like, I don't understand how Hades got it so right. Like, you know, from step one, even though you're going to die in Hades, like, and sometimes it might be frustrating, but you still always feel like you were making progress. And Arc Veil, like, or not Arc Veil, Dreamscaper. Well, I think it does the stuff around it better. Like, I think it does the relationships and stuff better than Hades does. I still think the main gameplay of it being it's almost there, but it's just not quite there. But I can't look at Arc Veil and be like, no, like this from a gameplay perspective, home run, like absolute home run. I think the end can be frustrating because it's missing some of that conveyance to guide you into the super weapon or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But the visuals, the music, like, it's just, I was enamored with that game, and I had to finish it. I just absolutely had to.
Yeah, big fan of both. Obviously, they made it this far, but I think I agree with you. Vampire Survivors, Immortality, Arkvale. All
right, I'm doing it.
They are all for Arkvale again. Just in terms of a game that has, they want to do 10 things on a board, like B plus on all of those. Like they really just did everything very, very well. I fight for Immortality again because it's simply an experience.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just, it's that lack of just like conveyance of, I feel like that there could have been something to push it. But then again, I've never felt uneasy playing a game. Like I said, I'm not going to bring out, I might bring out the, depending on what we decide for the game of the year, but like, I'm going to bring out the, is it really a game though?
Oh, I heard those words before.
So, all right. Got our top three: Vampire Survivors, Immortality, Arkvale. Got to pick a winner and two runners up. For me, this is going to be between Vampire Survivors and Arkvale.
Immortality is our first runner up.
Yeah.
Second runner up.
Yeah. So we haven't really talked about Vampire Survivors because we talked about it in our last episode. So we've kind of glossed over it, unfortunately. Probably not great. Unless, you know, go listen to our last episode. Vampire Survivors has that mystique. It has that, you know, like we said, that review said, like, hated in the first 10 minutes. Now I can't stop playing it. Like, it's the treadmill of that game of always discovering something new, of wondering what's around the corner. Like, sometimes things just show up on screen and you're just like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is just going
just
on?
Mind blowing. What is it? Yeah. Right.
And that's, yeah.
It's so surprisingly deep.
Yeah.
And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper to a point where you don't know, like, if unless you're following achievements, you really don't know when you found everything. You never know when there's more around the corner, like you said.
Right. And it's, you know, there's very few games that ever have that, like, that Fez-like of just, like, I want to see what's next. Like, I genuinely need to see what is next. I need to see what else this game is hiding. And it does it in a way that it again, it's got that conveyance of softly guiding you to the next thing. It's going to give you the clues, and you know that you got to put them together somehow, but you just don't know how. And then when it clicks for you, you know, you're like, oh crap. Like, okay. Like with the dog, you know, like, be a good boy on this level. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And then like, oh, wait a minute. Like, it's usually right in front of your face. You just have to kind of think about it a little bit, and you have to kind of play by its own rules. And like, and then there's the, on top of it, there's the playing it. Like, you know, that first time you get the 30 minutes, you feel awesome. The first time you get that treasure chest, you feel awesome. You know, it's first time you get the 5 treasure chest. Like, it's just, it's got that treadmill and it just doesn't stop and it just keeps going. And it's like, it's good. It's real good.
For a game that you don't even press buttons for.
Right. Right.
Like, you really don't. It's incredible how they took a game that plays itself as almost and then makes it so gameplay heavy. It's something you really can't put down. The only, I guess, the major difference between it and Arkvale is, to me, is as great as Arkvale is in its own right, I think the biggest difference is Arkvale is like telling you the answer. It's like 2 + 2 = 4, right? You know, but whereas like, so Vampire Survivors is just telling you 2 + it's just giving you 2 and 2, and saying, "All right, go at it. See how do you put these two together? How do you put these two together? It's up to you how you do that." And
I mean, it's a more traditional game. Like, there, you know, the treadmill of that game is you're going to get stronger and stronger. But I think where you start at that game and where you end at that game is a journey. Like, right. It's you, your skills get better. You know, it is a genuine, it's not a 10 out of 10 though. Like, I think like Ori and the Will of the Wisps has a slightly better, by the end of that game, you feel different. Like, I think you mostly get there with Arkvale, but I think it's missing that last little bit to kind of catapult it into like one of the greatest, you know, twin stick shooters of all time. However, the music and like the locations and the graphics, like, so good, like absolutely great. It's so, so good.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think Vampire Survivors edges it out because it just doesn't stop. Arkvale, you get to that ending, the bosses can, depending on what your loadout is, it's going to be super annoying. And
but doable. It doesn't overstay. But doable.
Like, yeah. It doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it ends just on time, I feel. But that's the difference. Arkvale ends. Vampire Survivor, they could update this game again tomorrow, and now you have to put in another 20 hours.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's valid, because like I think we can only base it on what it is now. But at the same time, like, it, you don't know where the end is. Like, I think you could get there eventually, and you'd be like, okay, like, I think I've got everything from this game. But it, for a long time, like, it took like 25-30 hours before right. I was, you know, and I still know there's more than I can find. My question is, do I still want to find it? And I do, but you know, my thing is it 30 minutes is too long now. Like, I've gotten too good at the game. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to play this for 30 minutes to maybe find something. So like, it's not perfect.
Hyper mode inverse.
Right. But that becomes the trouble of just like, I don't want to miss anything, you know? So it's tough, because some of those achievements and stuff are like, you know, survive 30 minutes, which, you know, there's still more for me to discover in Vampire Survivors. And that's truly exciting. But Arkvale, like, it also, but Arkvale is, it's hard, like, but it's fair. Like, it's there's such opposite games, where Vampire Survivors is a girlfriend game too. Like, she can play it, have a good time, and we're both discovering things. If I put her in front of Arkvale, and I'm not arguing for it, I'm just saying, like, it's just, they're just different games. Like, Arkvale is a truly hard game in through and through. And I think it's a good one of those. I think you can master that game in a way, to where it feels fair. Now, it's tough, to compare them for that reason, but man,
easy for me. I'm going Vampire Survivors. I'm gonna put another 15 hours into that probably before it's all said and done. And I love me some Arkvale. Very satisfying ending, but yeah, Vampire Survivors, like, to the point where DLC dropped today, I'm probably jumping in that before I head out tonight.
What's funny is this is the last game of the year we played and the first game of the year we played.
If you're not last, you're first, you're last, I don't know.
It's, man. How do you feel about the presentation of Vampire Survivors?
Horribly ugly, but in the best way possible.
Right, like, it's pretty creative, you know, all the different enemies and all that fun stuff. It's like, really what it comes down to me, for me, is like, you just never know what's around the corner. Like, and that was the exciting part. It was just like, what am I going to find? Like, I went to the bone zone and I found that giant freaking ball of bones, and it gets progressively yep. bigger because it can actually run over the enemies. And it's just like, okay. And then like that stuff really stands out to me, but Arkvale is so solid. Like, it's so good. It's just that they're very, very different philosophies. And I just, is that mystique and mystery enough to put it over a game that is trying, it's just trying to be a really good game, you know, like.
And it does it.
I feel like I need a beer. Need to phone a friend. I want to say I'm with you, but like something about it is.
I think I said this during the Vampire Survivors review. I have a PlayStation 5 in there with God of War, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Untouched because I have Vampire Survivors. I wouldn't do that for Arkvale.
See, I definitely had a drive to finish it.
Well, I had a drive to finish it, but like to. I'm not trying to finish Vampire Survivors. I just want to play the thing.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think collectively, I think, you know, this is our list. So, yeah, I'm all right with Vampire Survivors. Yeah, that's fine. There's just so much mystique to it that is the thing for me of just like what is going to happen, you know, like, and it's. That's hard to do, and I don't want to, you know, over qualify it or discredit it for that reason. But that's genuinely hard to do. Like anytime something new shows up, you're just like, "What is that?" So, it's got, yeah. So cement it. Is that what we're doing?
We're doing it.
All right.
I'm in it. Vampire Survivors, Game Pass Game of the Year. First runner up being Arkvale. Second runner up being Immortality. I think those are three phenomenal games that must be played and also quite different in their own regards.
Right. And I like it. I like how we have two pixel art games on here when you hate pixel art games.
Okay. So not only two pixel art games, but one that's not even a game by my standards. So like
biggest hypocrite of the year. Goes to Basher. No.
My point being, I think it's a perfect scenario because my point being, you can do these type of games, do them extremely well. However, the vast majority of them have no idea what it means to actually make these type of games. Immortality figured it out. If you marry something is genuine as the acting, the actual acting in that game, and you put it in and you make it so strange and weird and awkward yet so authentic, and you invest in people who can bring that to life, you just create an experience that no other quote-unquote non-game in your genre could match. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, the
level.
It really is almost a new genre, right? Like, it's right there. I think their next one has the possibility to be the one, you know, of just like, they're clearly trying new things and figuring things out and yeah, like it's on the cusp. Of being the game of the year.
Yeah, because the point of games, in my opinion, are not the point, but one of the greatest things about the gaming medium is you can almost do anything. So why wouldn't you?
Right.
And so like when you have a game, so when you have games that are telling stories primarily with little gameplay, why not find that way to tell the, why not find a way to tell that story in a completely unique way? Why not then tell that story in a way where it makes even the player uncomfortable? Immortality achieves what the other non-game, what I quote unquote non-games achieve because it doesn't say, walk over here and interact. Now interact. Now interact. The whole thing is interacting with you sometimes. And it flips the script in a way where it's just extremely incredible. And then you have a game like Vampire Survivors, a pixel art, like on his face pixel art, I'm already over it. But then it says, hold on, hold my beer as I throw so many pixels on screen that you have no idea what's going on, except for the fact that when you come out of that, you just unlocked 17 things. You have no idea what they do until another 15 hours later. And now you're figuring out how to put all these different pieces together is doing something with pixel art that that you could not do on those older machines, as opposed to something that wants to be so faithful to the older machines that you're doing everything that the older machines already did. There's so much you can do with paying homage to something and still making it modern, fun, exciting, and new.
Perfectly said. One thing I want to say is on Immortality 2 is just like the amount of footage in there is nuts. Like, they're all different too. Like, they're all different styles. They're all different. You know, that's impressive in its own right of making all of that work, putting that together in a way that's gamified. You know, we can make the argument that there's not much of a game there, but like putting it together in a way that it works could not have been easy in the slightest. So like that's impressive in its own right. But yeah, like it's just Vampire Survivors is just a well. You just keep falling down and you're totally on board. Like you just, I have to see what is next. So, it's weird. it's weird. So, all right, there you have it. Game Pass Game of the Year again, Vampire Survivors, followed by Immortality and Ark Veil. So that's going to do it. We got one more episode left for the rest of the year, the state of Game Pass, which we got plenty to say on how we're feeling about the service. Microsoft had quite a weird year. So I'm sure we have a lot to say about them, the future of Game Pass, future of Microsoft, future of PC. I'm sure we'll talk about a little Nintendo, a little bit of PlayStation in there, and probably, unfortunately, we're all sick of hearing about it, but we'll have to talk about the Activision deal as well. So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with our State of Game Pass.
Good day, sirs.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization. Earn great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives. Learn more online at cbp.gov/career/USBP.